You're listening to Sports Connections with David Smale, the show that brings you a fun and intimate look into connections throughout sports. Now here's your host, David Smale.
Wyatt Thompson, who grew up near Abilene, Kansas, is in his 19th year as a voice of the Kansas State Wildcats. He's been named the Kansas Sportscaster of the Year 6 times, including each of the last 4 years. So he's got a streak going. That's good. He's the university's senior director of broadcasting, which means he's responsible for everything that goes out over the airwaves from K-State. And his enthusiasm for K-State sports is authentic. I remember the last game of Bill Snyder's first tenure as head coach at Kansas State. Now, K-State trailed Missouri, one of their big rivals, 28-21, heading into the fourth quarter. Defense got a safety early in the quarter and then got a go-ahead touchdown pass to Jordy Nelson midway through. But with Missouri driving toward a go-ahead score late in the game, Brandon Archer picked off a pass and ran it 45 yards for a clinching touchdown with just 1:23 left. I thought we were going to lose Wyatt. He practically jumped out of the radio booth. His son was spotting that season, and I think he reached out and grabbed his dad's shirt just to make sure we didn't lose him completely. And Wyatt still carries that same enthusiasm 15 years later. He still wears the famous smile everywhere he goes. He's always got a "hey, bud" for friends, and he always makes you feel glad you saw him. Mostly, he's willing to talk enthusiastically about the latest story with K-State sports. So, Wyatt, welcome to Sports Connections.
David, it's great to be with you, sir. That's a heck of an introduction. I appreciate that. You're more than kind, trust me, for sure. Well, good to be with you.
It's my pleasure, and it's great to have you here. It's hard to believe that you've been on the air, on the mic now for K-State for nearly 20 years. Does it seem that long to you?
Yes and no, I guess, is the right answer. I think about, 19 years, and that doesn't seem real. But then you get to thinking about it and think 2002, that does it not sound like a long time ago? So yeah. I guess yes and no is the proper answer. But I've had so much fun doing this, it really, frankly, doesn't seem like it.
Yeah, I think we can both follow the story or the tagline that says, if you love what you're doing, you'll never work a day in your life. And I know I can tell from watching you when you're on the radio, because I get to be in the same arena as you in many cases, that you're having fun. You're telling the story and you're doing a good job at it, but you're just simply having fun, aren't you?
I am. And you were talking about, are you a fan or just the arm of the athletic department and those kind of things? And I think it's, in all honesty, it's a little bit of all of that. I think at the core, you better be a fan. And I grew up a K-State fan, so it's made it pretty easy. Being here around this every day for the last 19 years makes it pretty easy from my perspective. So I think at the end of the day, you need to be a fan. You have to be fair. And Stan and I really try to do that, as you know. And I think we are. I've even been criticized minorly over time of saying too many nice things about the competition, depending on the competition, of course. But
yeah.
At the end of the day, you want to be fair. You want to be accurate and those types of things. But you better be a fan. And at the end of the day, I am a fan. Always have been.
Yeah. I'm obviously interviewing you because of our shared connection with K-State, but I think you could probably speak for a lot of people in your position, your fellow play-by-play broadcasters. You have to be a fan to be good at the job, don't you?
You do. And being around it every day, you get so close to the coaches and the players, or at least I do. And so when they're hurting, you're hurting. Yeah. When they're euphoric, you're euphoric. And I've had so many great moments here that I'm sure we'll talk about later, but that's the stuff that you live for, And again, the personalities, too, of the young people that I've been afforded the opportunity to meet and work with in the last nearly 20 years, coaches, some of them Hall of Famers. I mean, I say this every day, David, you know this, how lucky can one guy be? And I really mean that. I'm sincere with that.
Yeah. I remember when it was announced that you were getting that role and, in K-State circles, there was a lot of who, who is this guy? Cause probably very few Northern Colorado fans. Was it Northern Colorado or Colorado State?
Colorado State.
Colorado State.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Probably not a lot of people listen to Colorado State broadcast in Kansas, at least. and that people didn't know who you were, but I remember very quickly going, this guy gets, I didn't know where you had grown up. I didn't know that you grew up a K-State fan, but right. It was pretty obvious pretty quickly that you were a K-State fan. So with that in mind, how do you balance being a fan of the program that you've rooted for, I don't want to say how old or how many years, but you've rooted for a long time. How do you balance that with being fair?
Sometimes it can be hard. There's no doubt about that. I think at the end of the day, though, being fair has to be part of your ground level work.
Right. And
I'm very fortunate to not only work at Kansas State, but be in the Power Five, be in one of the great conferences in the country. And I do have a lot of respect for these other programs, these other coaches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I go to Big 12 Media Days. I know you do things like this, whether it's football, basketball, or whatever, and have an opportunity to meet some of these young people. And I'll just throw out a couple of names, and I'm just off the top of your head. When you get a chance to talk to somebody like a Sam Ellinger and understand his love for not only the state of Texas but UT itself,
right.
and from the time he was a toddler, he's been a Texas fan. You respect and appreciate that, and just his love for the game and love for the mm-hmm. school. How can you not respect that? So to me, that's the floor level of it for sure.
Yeah. We have a mutual friend in Bob Davis.
Yes.
You're probably closer with him than I because you are in the same role, but I've gotten to know Bob pretty well through the years. And when I'm sitting at, on press row for the Big 12 tournament, when Bob was broadcasting for KU, I'd either sit near him or behind him. And there were so many times when you couldn't necessarily hear what he was saying, but you knew he was complaining about the official because he'd throw his hands up and say, how in the world could he – could he do that? We've all seen that. Have you ever had what I'll call a Bob Davis moment?
Oh, absolutely. Probably more than I would want to admit to you today, to be perfectly blunt. I think all of us do. And again, that's the emotion of the fan in you.
Yeah.
You know, and I over the years, I'll tell you a quick story here. I think about my time in the league, and there was a time where, you know, I had kind of a thing for John Higgins and thought he didn't like K-State. And that was on me. That wasn't true. He's turned out to be one of the great officials in college basketball, and I respect him. And in fairness, part of this story should also be told that I spent a little bit of time one time with him at an airport and visited with him for about 45 minutes. It gives you a little bit different perspective.
Yeah.
And I've always respected how difficult that kind of thing is. But, you do occasionally in the heat of the moment, let's say it's a KU K-State game and the place is rocking, regardless of whether it's Allen or the Octagon of Doom, whatever it might be, but the emotions are high and the call goes against you. Yeah, you're going to think it's personal occasionally, at least momentarily. And so you probably say something that, dang, I wish I maybe wouldn't have gone quite that far. Absolutely. You just do.
Yeah. It's interesting. I did a story. I've been doing stories for the Final Four program for years, and I did one for last year's program. Nicely, I still got paid, even though we didn't have a program, but I did it on officiating, on how the officials are selected. And it's very much an evaluation. There's just as much of a bid process with the officials as there are with the teams. And I talked to John and got to know him fairly well through this. And I said, what's it like to be the most respected and most hated official in college basketball? He never did answer. He just laughed. He said, yeah, it's probably true. But it is a very difficult thing to do that. So do you want to give us a specific time that you that you had a Bob Davis moment, or you want to just leave it to our imagination?
Well, I think probably the one I would give you probably involved John at one point in a KU game here at Bramlage. And I look back on it now and fully admit to you and everybody else watching this that I probably went a little bit too far. In all honesty, I don't remember the exact play.
Okay.
And this isn't the only example. I mean, you do, and I've toned that down a little bit too, to be honest about it. And I think because I know the league better, and this was several years ago that this happened, And like I said before, John isn't the only example. We've had a lot of really good officials in this league that have worked multiple Final Fours, national championship games. You know, you're shaking your head. You know these guys. You've talked to them and done stories about it, how they're selected. And sometimes where I started to temper it back a little bit, David, in all honesty, is looking back and watching games and matching my stuff with that. And griping about a call and seeing the replay and understanding that this cowboy right here was the one that was wrong, not the official. And so that makes you pull back the reins on the horse a little bit, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Now, with you personally, you follow in the line of a lot of very successful broadcasters at K-State. I'm not going to give the list because I would leave somebody out, but it goes all the way back to Dev Nelson. Do you feel honored to be on that list?
Oh, above that, whatever that is. And it starts for my money with Dev. And I've said this publicly before. I think he is one of the most gifted, unique broadcasters in the state, not just at Kansas State. Dev was a peach of a gentleman from what I understand. I did get the opportunity to meet him a couple of times when I was a young broadcaster, just getting started. But I grew up listening to him. Mm-hmm. Admired the work, the consistency in which he did it, his passion for Kansas State. And of course that moves through, you know, Dev into so many of the others. And you're right. It is a heck of a list. And just to even be put on that same page, whether I deserve it or not, is quite a thrill from my perspective, because so many of those guys, I mean, think about all the people that have done Kansas State games over the years. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah. To quote Dev, that this opportunity is a Rip Snortin Hootenang double barrel deep dish dilly, isn't it?
Well, and that's, again, that's the uniqueness of the guy.
Yeah.
And I've known in a 40 plus year career, a lot of guys and a lot of personalities and a lot of styles. And I really mean this. I think his was as unique as any that I've ever met, whether it's Doc Emmerich calling hockey. We were talking off air a moment ago, Vin Scully. Mm-hmm. Who's better than Vin Scully at baseball? Who's a better storyteller? I mean, it's just what it is. I grew up in the Midwest and was a big Cardinal fan because of my father. And I grew up listening to Harry Carey and Jack Buck and Bob Starr and Bob Costas and those kind of guys. I mean, think about the hallways there at KMOX in St. Louis. You talk about big time names. That was it.
You've won four straight Kansas Sportscaster of the Year awards. I will say now publicly, I said it in an email, obviously, but congratulations on that. To what do you attribute your success? I mean, that's not an easy thing. There's some good broadcasters around the state.
Well, there are. And I think that's the humbling part of it, to be honest with you, because I think about all of the guys that I know, and some of them are dear friends. I guess I'm most proud of this award among the many that are out there, because it is a vote of your peers.
Yeah.
That says a lot from my perspective. And I've been I can't explain four in a row, or I can't explain six overall there. But you know, you mentioned Bob Davis a moment ago. Bob Davis won 14 times in this state. I mean, Mitch Holtis is winning now in Missouri after winning, what, eight times in Kansas. I mean, it's just Greg Sharp has been a multi-state winner as an example. And then other guys, I mean, I don't know that I've had any more respect for anybody like a guy like Fred White. I love Fred White as a person, as a broadcaster.
Yeah.
How good he was at helping young people like myself. He was so great and open-armed with anybody and everybody that wanted to do this, because he'd walk those halls too, you know, as a kid. And I think as I've gotten older, I've tried to do that too. And I know Bob Davis has done it. You know, that's kind of what you do. This is a very unique business from my perspective. And that's part of it. It's what you do.
Yeah.
Help the others.
When you mentioned Fred White, I didn't know you're going to mention him. And so this definitely is a off the top of my head story, but my all-time favorite Fred White story. He was doing a Royals game, and I apologize to anybody listening nationally who's not familiar with Dev Nelson or Fred White or any of these people, but he was doing a Royals game on the radio with Ryan Lefevre, and the Royals were in Baltimore and they were getting pounded, as tended to happen a lot. And the Orioles had a player named Jorge Julio. Both names started with the J. And so Fred asked Ryan on the air, so if he has a son and he names him after him, would he be Jorge Julio Jr.? And they started laughing. And
yeah,
they couldn't do the play-by-play. And like two innings later, they're still giggling. They're still laughing like third graders. And I was at the stadium when they returned home the next time, and I happened to run into Ryan, and I said, Jorge Julio Jr.? And he starts giggling again. I'm glad it was not his inning to be broadcasting and he wasn't just running in for a quick drink, because he starts laughing again. Fred had such a sense of humor, but was very approachable. He was never bigger than the position.
Yeah, that's so well said, David. And that's you hit it out of the ballpark there from my perspective, because that is who Fred White was. But he's not alone. You know, I have a special relationship with Bob Davis because I followed him at Hayes and, then our time together in the Big 12 and all of that. But, you know, he and I have had tons of conversations about the ability of Fred and for that matter, Denny, and, you know, some of the people that they've had. And I would say this too, and I've told this to the guy's face, I'm a big fan of Ryan Lefevre.
Yes.
I think he is as good as anybody out there on both radio and television.
Yeah.
And it's hard to be really, really, really good at both, but he is. And
yeah.
I admire his work. And he, you know, it's like back to Bob. I joke with Bob all the time. He's probably seen more bad baseball than anybody to ever put on a headset. And yet he did it so well.
Yeah. Yeah, I text Ryan every time he signs an extension on his contract saying thank you for staying, because I'm sure he's got national offers all the time. Now, I'm sure you have favorite memories from your first 19 years, first 18 years, however you want to look at it. I'm going to ask you to give me your top five moments in football and your top five in basketball. Let's start with football.
Okay. Well, I knew you were going to ask me a little bit about this, so I gave it some thought, and I'll just be upfront and honest about that. I wanted to give it a little bit of thought as opposed to trying to do it off the top of my head, because over those types of years, they do kind of run together.
Right.
And again, as I've said, I've been so fortunate with coaches, athletes, games, moments in time here. As much as any. With football, I always start with the 03 Big 12 championship game. I think it's one of the great moments in Kansas State sports history, Kansas State football history. You know the story, so I won't waste your time with that. But K-State was a monster underdog. They were saying Oklahoma was one of the great teams of all time. And 35-7 later is one of the most special nights in Bill Snyder's career. For Kansas State fans everywhere, that one will always probably be number one on my chart.
Okay.
Then after that, I would say, and this is a weird one in some ways, the 12 championship in football is right there, but maybe for a different reason, because of it was the Colin Klein year, and it was, you know, beating Texas here at home. Remember that? Mm-hmm. That was so uniquely different. I've said this many, many times. I've been blessed with, you know, knowing so many great kids over the years, and Colin's right at the top of the list.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled that he's still, you know, with K-State football and with us, and he is an unbelievable person. You mentioned the game where you were with Stan and I. That game, because it was Coach Snyder came back and had a brilliant second career too, but.
Right.
That we thought that was going to be it, and that particular game, and against Mizzou and Brandon Archer and all of those kind of things. So that has to be in there.
How close did you come to actually jumping out the window of the radio booth?
Well, you know, I'll kind of do this and hit on another one here too, because I've had two moments like that in my career. I don't know that I came as close as you might have perceived it here. But I was up, okay,
yeah.
And leaning forward, and Dustin did grab my arm. All of that was, you know, accurate. So let me throw one in between here, and then I'll go to the second part of that. The other one of my coolest memories is that first K-State bowl game for me in 02, mm-hmm. which was the Holiday Bowl. That was so much fun. And then the other play where, you know, I almost did go out on this one because it was the middle screen to Darren in the 03 championship game in yes. Arrowhead. You could see it. I mean, as soon as L threw the ball, you could see it was like the parting of the Red Sea, right?
Yes.
And with his skill set, there was nobody on the planet that was going to tackle him, run him down, whatever you want to say. And that led to a 21-7 lead on the way to a 35-7 win. And that was, oh my gosh, off the charts. So those would be probably my top five in football, but there have been so many, but those are very special.
What about basketball?
Well, I wrote down six because I couldn't pare it down to
that's
five.
That's quite all right.
So I hope you're okay with that. But yes. I would probably start with the 2008 NCAA tournament win against USC with Hugs, because to me, when I first got to K-State, basketball had been down a little bit, and that was kind of the rebirth with Hugs coming. Now, we eventually lost to Wisconsin in the second round, but that Beasley-Walker group was so – and beating USC with the Mayo kid who Hugs hoped to bring here, that right. was just a special moment. And being in the tournament and that doing my first NCAA game with K-State was great. I wrote down too Denny Clemente's 44-point game at Texas. You might remember that one. That was mm-hmm. back in 09. One of the greatest single game performances I've seen. This would probably be in that same kind of category. Jacob Pullen setting the scoring record with 38 against Wisconsin, albeit in a loss. I wrote down the Valentine's Day win against Kansas. You remember they were number one earlier in the day, and K-State beat them 84-68. That was, oh my gosh, what a special night that was. I just remember there were literally, David, and I'm sure you remember this, there were people dancing on the tabletop where Stan and I had our equipment and our charts and all of that. They didn't care. They just beat number one Kansas. So that was really cool. Barry Brown's basket beating Kentucky was so special to me. That was 2018 in Atlanta. And in part because of K-State history. When I think about K-State Kentucky, I have a hard time not thinking about Ernie Barrett back in 51.
Right.
And he'll still tell you to this day that had he not gotten hurt, that they could have been national champions. And who knows how that would have changed everything. Yeah. And you know how Barry was special as a just tough and that kind of thing. And then I guess finally the double overtime win against Xavier in that great run out in Salt Lake City back in 2010. That, I mean, think about this team with Jacob Pullen and Denny Clemente and Curtis Kelly and Jamar. And wow, that double overtime game was crazy. I really think it should have been a regulation game. And had it had been that, I do think K-State would have beaten Butler two nights later and been in the Final Four. And that would have been really cool.
Now, it's interesting. You didn't mention the 2019 Big 12 championship team and the 2013 shared mm-hmm. Big 12 championship.
Yeah.
You've had a pretty good run. Why didn't you come to K-State earlier?
Yeah. I have been really, really fortunate with both sports. And it's hard. That's why I say I did six. I could have done 20.
Yeah.
And it is unique that you miss those because, man, I think about those teams. I mean, it was really special what Bruce did that first year with Rodney and that group to – yes, they were a talented group. Yes, they were a veteran team, but you still have to develop your own identity and chemistry. And I thought he was fabulous that first year. And then the Dean Barry and Cam group, that those guys came in here, and I've said this 1,000 times, that first year they won five league games, five. And their senior years, they won seven road games in the league. Think about that.
Yeah.
So experience and talent matter, and that was a special group. Barry's toughness. I believe Dean was as unique a matchup issue that year as anybody in college basketball at the forward position. He was a super player
for sure. I want to switch gears a little bit here. Obviously, we've talked about your play-by-play duties, but part of your job is to do coaches shows midweek away from the field or away from the court. How different is that from doing interviews right after games with the coaches?
Well, it's quite a bit different because it's a little bit less on the emotion side with good and bad, win or lose. And it's more, I've always looked at it as more of, you know, kind of a look back at the previous games, previewing what's coming up. And, you know, a lot of times, like on the basketball shows, we've had, you know, players come on there. And I, you know this, I love talking to the players.
Yeah.
Here not too many weeks ago, we had Seldon Miguel on. And I don't like, you know, singling out different people. But this is such a unique person. Mm-hmm. And background. I mean, he came to the United States and couldn't even speak English, you know, and here he is just a few years later playing major college basketball at a very special place. And I think he knows all of that.
And
all of those kind of things. So that is what I really appreciate, but it is totally different. You know, sometimes you're dealing with those players have emotions too. You know that,
right.
Good and, you know, high and low. And sometimes when I've done both sides of that many, many times, and the up of that is the, oh my gosh, what an adrenaline rush. And then the down of it can be really, I mean, you see the hurt in their,
sure,
in their eyes. It's pretty tough sometimes.
Now, I've known you for almost 20 years, and I didn't have to hear our discussion today to know that the people are really what makes the job special for you.
So, well,
go ahead.
You're absolutely right. I think about the, and it isn't just the athletes or the coaches or the games. It's the special K-State people that I've met over the years too. And it isn't, you know, like I could name lots and lots of donors, but I mean, you think about the enormity of a Jack and Donovan Ear as an example, and what they've done for Kansas State University, not just K-State Athletics, as one example. There are many more. More modern times here, you know, John and then the Ice family. And I don't want to start naming everybody and hurt anybody's feelings because it's such a special place. But and then, you know this about me too. I travel out there a lot of years on the Capbacker tour, and those people that spend money that come here 6, 7, 8 times a year in football and half the basketball season or whatever it is, maybe all the season, that, you know, take vacation to go to bowl games.
Yeah.
I so appreciate those people so much. And you get to know very quickly how much love they have for K-State, and they live and breathe the athletics, and they're mad at us when we lose, and they're euphoric when we win, and that's the way it should be. I love our fan base, always have.
I want to talk about some of your favorite coaches. Yeah. Obviously, the list is shorter with football because you've only been around two, but just talk about your relationship with Bill Snyder and how it's different in your relationship with Chris Klieman.
Well, starting with Coach Snyder, I have to say, you know, it wasn't the easiest thing right away. And you touched on it earlier. You know, he had a great deal, and rightfully so, appreciation for Mitch and Greg before me. And, you know, it's hard to have the new guy come along. And yet, you know, we fought through that. And I there isn't anybody that I respect more because of, if nothing, it's way more than just wins and losses and championships great athletes and things like that. It's more about, you know, the message and the 16 goals and the work ethic and cat time and so many things that will never leave me.
Right.
You know, and now in the post Snyder coaching frame of that, you know, being able to visit with him now, I had a chance to see him the other day, and he was telling me about how Sean's doing at USC and, you know, about, you know, his daughters in Texas and grandbabies and those kind of things. And that's really, really something. And, but yet back to the athletics part of it, I got to experience so many things because of that brilliant guy. And I will always have especially, I get emotional talking about it. Honestly, yeah. I truly do. He changed this place, David. Yes. He just did. He truly did.
I was living in Manhattan when they hired him, and I mean the university was considering dropping football altogether, or at the very least shifting down to Division II. And the city was, I mean, maybe outside the university, maybe 20,000 people, the town of Manhattan, and the university was 15,000. And I don't know what the numbers are now, but the community is a thriving community, and an awful lot of that can be attributed to the success of the football program.
No question. I think everybody understands it. And you know, I always tell the story that I grew up a K-State fan on a farm over by Abilene. When I left the state to go to Colorado in 1989, you could go into the mall in Manhattan and maybe not see a K-State football shirt.
Right.
Seriously.
Right.
And then when I came back and came here in 2002, people were wearing Powercat underwear and had it on their water towers and, you know, yeah. silos. And it's just crazy. And I think about, you know, the press box and what it was in 89 and yeah. what it was in 2002 and what it's like in 2020 or 2021. And at some level, whatever you want to attribute to him, he's part of it.
Yeah, for sure.
And all of the other buildings in which we enjoy every day here. And so I have an immense amount of respect for him and what he accomplished as a football coach, but also he cares so deeply about Kansas State. And I just appreciate that. And with Coach Kleiman, I've really gotten off to a great start with Chris. I really, really like him as a person. I love mm-hmm. his family. He's easy to work with. I think he's going to do a really, really solid job here. We struggled at the end of last year, as you know, but he's working really, really hard to get, you know, more talent in here and more depth and that kind of stuff. And I think we're going to be just fine moving forward.
My favorite joke about how bad it was before Bill Snyder. And there are plenty of good jokes, and they're not really that funny because they're true. But yeah. My favorite was, if you got caught speeding along Kimball Avenue, which borders the north side of the stadium, you didn't get a speeding ticket; you'd get a football ticket. And if you got caught twice, they'd yeah. make you go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One thing to have the ticket, but they'd make you go. So
yeah.
It's certainly different. Let's switch to basketball. I don't expect you to name every coach. You know, there's been more coaches, obviously, in your time here. What are some of your favorite memories with the different basketball coaches?
Well, I would start with Coach Woldridge because he was my first guy. And Jim was so good to me. I loved him as a person. We probably didn't win enough in his days, but it wasn't for a lack of trying. We always seemed to be a player here or a player there right. short, but he really tried and had some really scrappy kind of teams. So I enjoyed Jim, and he was, like I say, he couldn't have been better to me. I loved working with him. I truly did. You know, things changed, of course, with Hugs. Hugs was here for just a year.
Right.
And I've said this many, many times, that I've probably not had more fun in a single year than I had with Bob because of his immense dry sense of humor. I could tell you some stories, probably couldn't tell all of them.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying there.
Yeah.
He will always be my friend. I will always be grateful to. And you know what? I learned a lot from him. He taught me that it was okay to have expectations for K-State basketball. I remember on a trip when we went to Texas, going down there, and we were talking, and he said, "You don't think we're going to win this game, do you?" And we ended up winning the game. And when I got on the bus, I wish you could, everybody really for that matter, could have seen the look on his face when I stepped on that bus and looked at him. It was like, it's almost hard to describe what it was like, but you get the point. He made people believe that this was going to work. And that led to Frank, and Frank was a unique guy in his own way. And we had such a great run with him. I remember my mother telling me, you know, that first year, you need to tell him to slow down. He's going to have a heart attack on the sideline.
Yeah.
You know, he was pretty wild, but he had such great passion for his family, the game, K-State. He could tell right away that K-State was a special place.
Yeah.
And you know, with Bruce, you know, I just have such an appreciation for B-Dub because he's just a basketball junkie. You know, you hear the term, you know, gym rat. That's him.
Yeah.
I've seen him literally at a shoot around with a wad of papers, and he'll come over to do tape pregame interview or whatever. And some of that paper is like, one time he had a play or two drawn on a napkin that had to be, I don't know, 10 days old or something.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And he's such a family man. I just, again, I'm a person that gives everybody the benefit of the doubt, but
yeah,
I think you can tell from the way I talk about these guys, I've truly enjoyed all of them in some way, shape or form. And that's why I say I'm so lucky. I don't know how much time you got, but you start talking about players too, that I'm the luckiest guy ever on the players. There's no doubt about that.
I want to go back. I've enjoyed getting to know. I sit next to Hugs many times during the Big 12 tournament when he's scouting the next team, who he may play. And I'm just a guy that covered a team he coached for 1 year. And yet he treats me like I'm an old, you know, long lost friend. But and I love what Bruce represents, and I love the success he's had. But I got to tell you, has there ever been a more, I'm not sure the right word, but a more transparent, it's not the right word, but a more real person than Frank Martin? You didn't have to guess if Frank was happy or sad, did you?
Yeah, you know, people forget this. Frank, when Frank first came here with Bob Huggins, you know, he had, you know, some health issues early on, and we were very, very concerned. But it ended up being, you know, something that he was able to overcome. And I learned right away, especially when Huggs left so abruptly and Frank was the guy, that Frank was going to be a unique work with guy.
Unique is a nice way of saying it. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, passionate in every way about so many different things. And I know he was hard on the kids, but he really cared about them, David. I really believe that in my heart. And we got better because of those guys coming here. And Hugs and Frank would be the first to tell you, it wasn't just them. It was, you know, Scott Greenewald, the strength coach. It was, you know, Andy Astley, the director of basketball ops. It was, you know, people like that. I mean, you can't name everybody, but that was a special time. And you know, they brought in some, I'll just say it, hellish good players and tough guys. And we would go on the road in those days, and people expect, when we showed up, they knew they were in for fight.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to be said for that, because winning in this league is hard. You know that.
For sure. Here's my favorite. Sorry to keep throwing my own personal stories, but I feel like we're two guys sitting at a restaurant chatting. And that's really the goal of this whole, these podcasts, is to do that. But Michael Beasley was gone. Bill Walker was gone. The preseason, I was asked to do a preview of the coming season, and I'm friends with Jay Billis. And I called Jay and I said, what do you think of K-State's chances? They still have Jacob Pullen. They have this guy, they have that guy. And he said, K-State's not going to be good at all. And I said, well, you remember the year after Dominique Wilkins left Georgia, that was the year Georgia reached the Final Four. And he said, yeah, but K-State doesn't have Vern Fleming. So I'm down at the Coaches versus Cancer event at the College Basketball Experience here in Kansas City. And I'm walking through and I see Frank and his wife with Brad Underwood and his wife, and they're eating dinner before things get started. So I waved. Well, he puts his fork down and slides back and comes over to say hi to me. And I said, you didn't have to do that. And he goes, that's fine. Did you want to do an interview, or are you just saying hi? I said, well, actually, I would like to do an interview. And he said, go ahead. So I'm sitting here, or standing there, holding my digital recorder right in front of his face. And I told him the story. I said, and Jay Billis says that, yeah, but K-State doesn't have Fern Fleming. Well, I will use different language than Frank used, but he said, well, Jay Billis.
Yeah.
And I've got my recorder, and I'm like, Frank, do you see that this thing is recording? Would you like to rephrase your response? And he goes, oh, yeah, yeah. Ask me the question again. I said, I'll just do the end. So what is your response to Jay Billis? He said, well, I beg to differ with Mr. Billis. And I said, I can't use that either. He said, just write something in between and give me credit for it.
I had a similar one with that. The first radio show I did with Frank, I guess I can say this on a podcast, he used the phrase, he was pissed off.
Yeah.
So we go to a commercial break, and I said to him, Frank, I'd appreciate it if you'd phrase that a little bit differently. When we came back from break, he said it again just to prove a point to me, I think. I really, truly mean that. But I learned right away that, and I mean this sincerely, at some level, you got to let the guy be him, you know? And so I kind of like, okay, maybe this isn't the end of the world necessarily either.
Well, genuine is the word I was thinking.
Well, sure.
He's the most genuine person. He doesn't put on a pretense. If he didn't like something, he's going to tell you. He didn't know what coach speak was. He said what he was thinking.
Yeah. And the time in Salt Lake was such an amazing thing. I mentioned that double overtime game and the Butler game, and a lot of people, you know, I'm happy when our fans can see games on television. I'd prefer they listen to me, but if they're watching TV, at least they're in. But I remember getting back to the hotel after that double overtime game, and people were talking about, I mean, you had to be there, I suppose, but you know, and then in the days after that, you know, they were talking about Gus Johnson and how he was just going crazy and how he loved K-State. And it's like, yeah, that's me just on a lower scale, you know?
Right.
But I went back and watched it, and some of the calls were like Bob Davis with the inflection, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
One of a kind.
Yeah.
And Gus is one of a kind.
I want to go back to a game I talked about in the introduction. What do you remember about that Missouri game, other than having Dustin grab your arm to keep you from falling out of the broadcast booth?
Well, I think the emotion of it leading up to the game, and having the thought of this is it. You know, I don't know that any of us really wanted. Again, I was kind of still a newbie at that point. I mean, you think. I think about Stan, who's been around here, played here, you know, in the early 80s as a quarterback and a safety, and saw every game in the Snyder era, and, you know, Mitch and Greg and those guys living all of that, you know, exponentially growing from a team that fought its way up from really nothing, honestly, to, you know, Big 12 championship level and, you know, number one ranking and as good a team as any in 98 and those kind of things. That's what I was thinking about, and that's also true about the 03 game. I remember driving home from Arrowhead thinking, you know, as disappointed as Coach must have been in 98 before my time,
right?
Still a K-State fan, but before I got here, what is he feeling like tonight?
Yeah.
You know, that he finally accomplished it's fair to say the ultimate goal, but one of the highest level goals you could possibly have. And to do that here where they did say it was an impossibility.
You're right.
I mean, he always told the story about, you know, people told him he was crazy to take the job.
You know?
And maybe he was, but I think he was, and I mean this with all complete sincere love of the man, I think he was just stubborn enough, tough enough to prove everybody wrong, you know? And that's in part what makes him special.
Yeah, and I think you're right. And he met his match with Steve Miller. I've actually done a podcast with Steve, and I've done one with Coach Snyder as well. But
yeah,
Steve said that I think it was Coach that told me this, when Steve finally got Coach to agree to meet with him, because he called him like every week during the season, and Coach said, "I'm not even going to talk to you until the season's over." Then Iowa season ended, and he called him a few times, and finally Coach agreed, letting him come over there, and they're talking about things. And Steve said, "So will you take the job?" And I want to think about it, and you know, back and forth. And it was obvious that they weren't going to reach a decision that night. And so Steve said, "Do you folks have a guest room?"
I'd never heard that.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
He called him the worldwide leader in persistence. So yes. he met his match, and that was obviously a match made in heaven. I want to wrap up with just a couple of things. First of all, how hard has it been to do your job during the pandemic?
Probably not as hard as you might think. I think it's been harder for others than for me. I think about, you know, being here every day, that, like Matt Thomason, who's our head athletic trainer, and what he's had to go through with keeping these young people and everybody, you know, as safe as humanly possible and things like that. Yeah. Have we had adjustments and hard times? Sure, you know, but not to that degree. And I think about, you know, the frustrations that I witnessed personally with Coach Kleiman and Coach Weber and other coaches that have tried to do their jobs at their very best level with trying to deal with this. And you know this is a no-brainer statement, but it's been really hard. It's been tough on everybody. So yeah, it's been a little, but for me, Stan and I think are the only radio crew in the Big 12 that have traveled everywhere so far with football and men's basketball. And for me, that's awesome. I had to do a game the other night wearing a mask courtside at Oklahoma, and I was okay to do it. I was still doing K-State basketball, even though we're struggling like crazy right now.
Yeah.
I'm still doing Kansas State basketball, and that's always special.
How long do you plan to, or do you have any plans? How long do you plan to keep doing this?
You know, I guess I am getting older, David, because people are starting to ask me that. And I haven't really thought about, you know, how much longer necessarily. But I've talked to Bob Davis about this. I think we all want to do it as long as we can, as long as we're wanted.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, there have been guys that have, you know, stayed a little bit too long or whatever in some circumstances. I don't want to do that. Our fans deserve the best, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know yet. It's really hard to answer that. But as long as I'm, you know, healthy and having fun and doing this and they want me, it'd probably be a little bit farther yet.
Yeah.
What does that mean in terms of years? Pretty hard to say at this point.
Yeah, I wasn't asking for a definite answer on that. Just basically what you said. You're having a blast. You're going to keep doing it until either you're no longer having fun or they tell you you're no longer having fun.
Correct. Yeah. And again, I will stress this, 40 plus years into this, when you're in broadcasting, if you've done this for very long at all and you've not been fired, you're ahead of the game. I'm 40 plus years in and haven't been fired. And that's why I say I've been lucky. Yes, with all of the people that we talked about, and all of the things that I've experienced in terms of success at all of my stops, you know, that's the neat part. I think about all of the travels, you know, don't want to leave anybody out again, but, you know, my time at Fort Hays and then in Fort Collins and then in Denver and then here and in other stops too, you know, so many things that I'll always have. I appreciate that.
And it's interesting, you know, I mentioned this in the intro and I've kind of alluded to it a couple of times. People don't have to be a Kansas State fan to appreciate your perspective on this, because if they're a fan of East Armpit State and their announcer is really enthusiastic about the Armadillo sports program, you're answering for that person. So I'll wrap up with this. Do you ever have a bad day? Because I've never seen one. I've never seen you on a bad day. Do you ever have them?
I suppose to a degree, but not. They're few and far between, my friend, honestly. Again, I thought, I'll admit something to you that I'll say to everybody, and maybe shouldn't say it here, but I kind of thought I knew about K-State coming into the job back in 2002, but I really didn't. I think you have to be here and experience it and understand the passion of the fan base and the people that we've talked about and the history here. I'm a small town guy by nature. And to me, this is kind of, you know, it's a bigger university and it Power Five and all of that, but Manhattan's a great place to live. The people here, I mean, everywhere you go, you see purple It's not that it's not like that in a lot of other places, but here it's just uniquely different. I don't know how to explain it, but it is different.
Yeah.
And I probably appreciate that as much as anything, to be honest. So I don't have many bad days. You have them now and again, but they're rare. The up far outshines the bad by a mile.
Yeah, I'm gonna close with this. I'm gonna give you my answer to the previous question.
Okay.
That I hope you're around for a long time, because you know, I didn't know who you were, just like a lot of right. K-State fans. But I quickly recognized your enthusiasm. I quickly recognized your love for K-State. And it's just, you're just so much fun to listen to, and you're so much, it's so nice to see you in a press box or courtside or whatever, because you're always the same. So I hope we're doing another podcast in 20 years and you're talking about 60 years in broadcasting. So I just hope you stick around for a long time.
You're very kind. I do appreciate that. I'm honored to be a part of this. Like we said before, always enjoy talking to you. I guess that's why I've probably done okay this, because I can sit here and talk about K-State athletics all day long. That's kind of what I do every day.
Yeah.
That's not working. You know that.
That's right. All right, my friend. Good to chat with you, and I appreciate you joining us.
Thanks so much, David. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Sports Connections with David Smale. Make sure to subscribe, follow, and rate the show from your favorite podcast platform. You can learn more about David Smale and his work by visiting davidsmalebooks.com. Don't forget to join us weekly for new episodes. Until next time.